Welcome again, everyone. It's good to see each of you. Good morning, Linda. Good morning, everyone. If you missed your workout this morning, it's okay. We're going to do a workout together this morning. We're going to build some spiritual muscles. And specifically, we invite God to keep growing our belief, our trust in Jesus. That's the reason why John wrote this gospel, was so that people would believe. And maybe you don't feel like working out, and that's okay. Maybe you're already tired and you need a caffeine kick, and that's good. This just might restore our energy. And maybe you'd rather have your guard up, and that's okay too. Join in when you're ready. What I notice about us this week, Zion, is the workout is already here. We are already being stretched physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, politically, globally. And the workout is already here. There's a new virus emerging out of Argentina. Depression, cancer, death, Mother's Day are all realities of life on this side of things. And we get to choose how we respond. Do we want to be the ostrich figuratively burying its head in the sand? Do we want to be busy as a bee in our response? Will we choose to participate in a dog-eat-dog world? Or are we humble enough and trusting enough to be like a sheep? And you may say, you know, sheep have a reputation for not being the sharpest tool in the shed. But then explain to me why the scripture says that all different kinds of sheep will be one flock. That means Jews and Gentiles together. We aren't there yet. Maybe the sheep know some things that we don't about following Jesus and listening and trusting to his voice. That's what Jesus says in verses 3 and 4 that Davis read, that the sheep listen to his voice. The shepherd calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. That means there's a purpose in it. That means there's intent in it. That means there's something we're supposed to hear and respond to. There's necessary information we need for the work that we are to be about. There's a story from Gary Burge that some of you may be familiar with. There was a Palestinian woman whose husband died in the conflict, one of the conflicts with Israel. She was in dire need of survival. And finally, the very reluctant Israeli officer permitted her to call her sheep out of a huge mass of sequestered animals. And at first, the officer pointed to the pen with hundreds of animals and quipped that it would be impossible for her to call out her own small flock. The woman asked the officer, "If I can separate out the animals that are mine, may I take them?" The officer agreed. A soldier opened the gate, and the woman's son raised a small reed flute to his lips. He played a simple tune repeatedly, and 25 sheep from across the pen perked up their heads and their ears and followed a young boy all the way home, his entire flock of 25. Jesus is calling to each of us. Will we listen? Will we trust him? See, in the Anabaptist church, we talk a lot about discipleship and a lot about following Jesus. And one reason we talk so much about discipleship is that we are called, and so therefore a response is necessitated. Jesus didn't call his disciples as a check-in or to talk about the weather. The shepherd calls the sheep by name and leads them out. We have work to do. In Zion, I celebrate that we are doing that work. The problem is that sometimes I see we are doubting Jesus. Understandably, I've done this too. We have this, dare I say, arrogance that we think our way of doing things is better than the God of the universe. I've done it too. Because if we understood the magnitude of who Jesus is and that he is for us, an oak tree would be born. New life would emerge. Take this story of Jesus calling his sheep and track it out with me. And first I'll say there has been great harm and hurt done by people claiming to have heard a word from God. Maybe their words have sounded selfish or nothing like the words of Jesus that we know in Scripture. And so we throw out the whole idea of listening to God's voice as illegitimate or impossible. Except, since it's Jesus calling us, doesn't Jesus also provide a way that we can hear accurately? This passage says Jesus knows the sheep and speaks to the sheep, and they follow. Remember, God's word doesn't return empty or void. The first chapter of John refers to Jesus as the Word. What is a word except something that communicates? Even more, in John 20, Jesus rose from the dead, which means he is alive. Which means he's still speaking. Why would we let something that another person wrongly said keep us from hearing what Jesus is saying right now? I'll tell you a story from a mentor of mine. Many years ago, a businessman named Dan and his wife, Naomi, went shopping for a new car. In the showroom, they were both drawn to a bright, shiny Mercedes. They could afford the car, but they hesitated. They agreed to see if God had anything to say to them before they made the purchase. So they decided to not say anything to anyone about it, waiting to see if God would speak to them. The next Sunday, during the worship service, God answered their prayer in an unexpected way. They had their time of worship and singing, followed by a customary time of listening prayer. Everyone was invited to listen for God's voice and then share what they were hearing and seeing. A young woman named Teresa stood up and said she was seeing a sports car on a pedestal. She also saw a red light flashing and heard no. She admitted she had no idea what this picture meant, but that perhaps someone else would. Well, Dan and Naomi took this as God's answer to their request for discernment. They decided not to buy the car. Because they had already saved up cash for a new car, they asked God what to do with the money. They sense God telling them to use the money to buy a car for somebody else in the church whose vehicle was nearly worn out. They deposited a good sum of money into a church account and invited others to contribute. And soon the church bought someone else in that church a brand new Subaru. Irvin has ridden in that Subaru. Or hear this example from Tanya Harris of God Conversations. The history books tell us that Christianity arrived to New Zealand with the first Western missionaries in 1814. But that's only half the story. 40 years earlier, God spoke to a man named Toria, giving him a vision of the Europeans' arrival. The vision included the strange clothes that they wore, their unusual mode of travel, and the message they carried about a good God with a name that meant son who was killed. Toria shared his vision with many people there so that when the foreigners came 40 years later, they eagerly received the good news and a massive indigenous revival followed. By the mid-1840s, around 64,000 Maori were attending church. It was one of the most significant revivals in history. Jesus said the Spirit would remind us of what Jesus taught. Again, quoting Tanya Harris, speaking about Acts 1 and 2, she says, "The Holy Spirit is given to us to be the continuing voice of Jesus, so that his ministry could be extended throughout the world and through every person who chooses to follow Jesus." Here is a very simplified starter teaching on how to listen to the voice of Jesus. One, get over the weirdness of it. It sounds out there and unscientific. And are you going to let that keep you from God's best for your life? Two, get over the fear of it. We think, what if God makes me say or do something stupid? And I'll insert here, in all my years of life of ministry, God has never failed me. God has been so faithful and good. When we say or think that God may make us do or say something stupid, that means that we value what other people think and what we think more than we value what God thinks. For me, it was in community with someone, praying and reading scripture over a series of months that I began to learn to hear the voice of Jesus. That's not the only way that it can happen. It's a solid way. Testing out what we hear with community and with scripture. And what I've learned is that hearing Jesus' voice is the opposite of condemnation. It is the voice of love, the voice of hope. It takes faith to hear the voice of Jesus because we can always explain it away. See, there was a baby that was born blind. And that baby grew and became a teenager and became a man. He stayed blind his whole life until one day he heard people talking about him again. And then a man spit on the ground and made that into mud and placed it on his eyes. That man told him, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam," a word that means scent. He spoke words to him, and he sent him. The shepherd calls the sheep by name and leads them out. Chapter 10 is a illustration of what, or a theological explanation of the illustration of chapter 9 in John. Healing of the blind man. The blind man couldn't see yet, but he trusted the person, the voice, enough to go. He went. He washed. And he got to see. We know healings don't always work the way we want in our lives. What I long for us to also know is that Jesus is faithful no matter what our circumstances communicate. Now, the religiously serious people didn't like it that Jesus healed a man on the Sabbath. When the religious leaders talked with the man's parents, his parents were afraid of the religious leaders because they had the power to throw them out of the synagogue, which is their central place, the center of their lives. So celebrate with me the choice of the healed man When the religious leaders called him a second time, here's his response. He said, "I have told you already, and you didn't listen. Why do you want to hear it again?" And they responded by insulting him and throwing him out of the synagogue, what his parents were afraid of for themselves. But there's more to the story, because Jesus goes to find the healed man. Jesus goes after his sheep. Jesus goes to find the healed man, and he asks him if he believes in Jesus. And the man chose to believe and to follow. Zion, we are a rise to the occasion kind of congregation. I have watched us grow in generosity and outreach and honoring one another. There is one more or another way, important way that we get to keep growing. I encourage us to trust Jesus more and more. He will not fail us. Think for a moment what you know about shepherds from the Bible. As we heard in this passage today, the shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. In the Hebrew Bible, God is pictured as their shepherd leader. In Luke, the angels first declare their good news to who? The lowly shepherds. Jesus tells a parable of going to look for his lost sheep. Think briefly, and then we'll close. Think about the job description of a shepherd: to protect the sheep, to lead them to water, to provide them with rest, to know and care for them. What would happen if we trusted more and more that Jesus is able to do this? The people of that day were expecting a Messiah who would transform the world with military power. Instead, they and we got a shepherd. And I believe that we are wise enough now to listen. May God equip us and delight us to hear. Amen.